Hello and welcome to the 21st podcast of Two Old Dolphins, the last podcast of season one, our inaugural season. Happy New Year, Alex.
Hey, Happy New Year, Scott.
Today is January 1st, 2019. Mm-hmm. So we are recording on New Year's Day, and an awful lot of stuff has happened. So we'll touch on as much as we can in the time we have. Coaching changes and some talk about the Bills game and various other things. I hope we can keep you interested. So we do have a fairly major announcement.
Mm-hmm.
We are joining the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
That's so cool.
So, so DolphinsTalk.com, all of our podcasts henceforth will be posted there. We will be maintaining our website. They will also be posted there. As time goes on, we'll link the two in some way, shape, or form so that there's a synergy between the two sites. Navigate back and forth, all that sort of stuff. But it's a good thing. It will help them in a small way, and it will help us in a big way, probably, with a lot of increased exposure.
I've always believed, Scott, that strength is through unity, and this is awesome that we're joining other guys that are doing podcasts, and we're all Dolphin fans, and we can support each other. This is really good. I love it.
And Mike's been doing it a long time, so yeah. He has a lot of followers and a lot of connections.
He sent me a nice email, it was really nice. We're going to talk later on this week about Dolphins, I'm sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's really cool.
All right.
So good news, I guess.
All right. So, of course, the elephant in the room is...
Gase is gone.
And essentially, Tannenbaum is gone, though nobody has defined what his reassigned role means. We've certainly seen a lot of jokes in social media about what it means.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of them are janitorial related.
Yeah, he was working in a restroom there doing some cleaning. What bugs me about that is that we don't know what he's doing. We just seem to know that he's no longer with football, but is he negotiating contracts? I mean, we don't know. It's still a little scary.
Yeah. So my understanding is that it's not. So I don't know what he is doing.
But have you heard that? I've read a bunch of articles I've never read anywhere
that clearly defines
what he's doing.
Because we don't want him near money in any way, shape, or form. But
anything football related.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. But let's assume for the sake of our sanity and the Miami Dolphins that Tannenbaum is gone. He is now out of the picture, and it's now going to be Greer.
Yep.
Gase is gone, and we need to elaborate on Gase. And I'll ask you the question, Scott.
Okay.
Are we a better team today than we were 3 years ago when he took over?
No.
I agree. I think we're not a better team.
No. We ejected too much talent. Gase, one of our criticisms of him that's been very consistent is he seems to have the inability to get along with the big personalities. And usually the high level of talent comes with a big personality. And so if you can't coach and find a way to relate to all the different personalities on your team one way or another, the Don Shula way, the Bill Belichick way, name any successful coach who's got, goats or, superstars on their team and keeps them producing and keeps them contributing. I don't, The other big criticism, of course, and if you're a regular listener, I feel like I owe an apology. I think we're going to have an influx of new people checking us out. So some of this may be a little bit repetitive, but the running game, it kills me. I think that if we had a coach that had the philosophy I've talked about, the adapt your scheme to the talent on your team versus
what Shula did
force,
forever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is force a scheme on the team that you have and then try and fill your roles, whatever. The bottom line is I think we have potential superstar in Drake. I've thought that, since
Balazs
last year. And now it looks like Balazs has
both are great.
Yeah, that both could be absolutely great running backs. And we don't know it for sure because all we've seen is little glimpses. Well, they are not touching the ball enough. This should have been a run first, pass second offense based on how the
based
talent
on, the,
on
numbers,
the team.
Based on numbers.
Yeah, the evidence.
There are strong numbers that indicate, Scott, that our running offense, our rushing offense was exceptional. It was in the top 10 while our passing was in the bottom half of the league. But I was interested that I was reading. I'm going to get into some numbers in a second on Gase, but I was reading some of the comments that players made, and one complaint that was voiced by players that Gase is that he didn't necessarily stick with what was working. Again,
yes,
the running game. One player said the team would be running the ball successfully, and Gase would implicitly just out of the blue there start throwing the ball.
Well, that's during the season, we've got 20 episodes worth of stuff on him, and I would get pissed off. I would, you know, I try not to swear very much. You know, we have the adult rating on this, but we really don't swear very much. We're pretty polite, you know, professional people. But when we get emotional and get worked up, you know, especially me, sometimes it comes out. And you know, when we're coming out in a 5-wide set, which I hate, unless you have a superstar passer. Even with a superstar passer, I still hate it, because in no way does the defense have to respect. In no way, you've just made your offense one dimensional for the defense.
Yeah,
that's what you've done.
I mean, the New England does it with Brady when they want to come out in this rush offense. And
if you're behind, passing situation.
I think it depends on the defense.
Yeah.
If you have a defense that sucks against the pass.
Sure. If they don't have a good pass rush, if they don't have good corners, if that's their weakness, you hit them in the weakness. No issue with that. But that's not what we saw this year.
But, Scotty, check this out. Another sentiment was that Gase tried to fool the other team. These are players talking.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes ended up outsmarting himself. That frustrated some players. Exactly what we were saying. Miami was like, even the touchdown.
Just look at the bubble screen.
This last week, the one touchdown we did get.
Oh, the Philly special play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it takes for us to score. We're not playing for the Super Bowl. We're playing Buffalo.
Yes.
Okay.
But we should be beating Buffalo.
Now I'm going to get into the meat and potatoes, okay? Check this out.
Last two games were major losses against teams with losing
and
records.
And we lost double digits
in
both games. But now, here's where I think the nail in the coffin. He was our offensive guru guy, right? The guy that could take Tanny, make him into a real quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay, when he first took over, our offense was ranked 24th in the NFL.
And now it's worse.
That's 2016.
Right.
And scoring, we were 17th. The next year, we ended up 25th in offense. That's 2017. All the excuses in the world.
Right.
But still 25th. And 28th in scoring.
Right.
And this year, the worst offensive numbers at the end of the season in the history of Miami, 31st. We had never ended up worse than 30th. And 26th in scoring, and that is because our defense and special team scored a shitload of points.
That's right. Yep.
That counts towards this. So when you look
at
those numbers.
Right, if you take away those, we're probably dead last.
So when you look at those numbers, Scott, here's my point. We're not better off.
No.
We actually regressed.
Oh, yeah.
And it regressed every single year. We got worse and worse and worse. And always the million and one excuses of injuries, Tannehill, this.
Yeah. Other teams have injuries too.
Yeah, so. Well, we got worse and worse. So Gase is gone. Good luck. I am laughing and chuckling a little bit if he does end up in Cleveland with Landry.
Yes.
That's going
to
be
I even posted on social media. I'm cheering for that to happen just because, A, the fireworks. And B, you know.
Listen, Scott, I got to say this.
Baker may want
Scott,
out.
Listen.
I want out of Cleveland.
Listen,
and
I
so
got,
then
I,
we'll
I,
get
I,
Baker that way.
I have to say this. I have defended Landry. He was always one of our favorite players because of his fire and his. And we didn't like his bonehead.
But
penalties.
Bonehead, right. It's kind of the same way with Kiko.
But let me tell
you
something.
I'm always on the fence with Kiko. Same reason.
No, but
he's a bonehead.
Let me finish my thought on Landry. I think he was very classless in the way he handled this. Look, the guy got fired. You don't kick a dog when he's down. You show respect and professionalism.
Yes. Yeah.
And for him to laugh at another man losing his job, it just was not right.
No.
And I thought him and Phillip showed that they're a couple of punks.
Yeah. You and I both want to Gase out, but there's no personal.
Yeah.
You know, just based on hope, belief, what we see, what
the
we see happening.
He's not
devolving.
A head coach. He's not a head
he's
coach.
He's not. He wasn't ready.
Maybe he'll be ready with the other teams or whatever. When
or maybe 10 years from now he'll be ready when he's matured and he's got more experience.
And I don't even want him as an offensive coordinator.
No,
based
I don't
on
either.
These numbers I just gave you.
Because he makes running backs that are good disappear because he is not a good talent evaluator and should not ever have had control over the roster and personnel decisions. Bring in, you know, the list of old broken people that he brought in and paid a lot of money to. The combination of him and Tannenbaum has set us back years and years and years. And it is a mess. And Armando is right. It's a mess that's going to be painful to clean up.
You know, we touched on this, but our rushing per yard, if you look at what Gore was doing, mm-hmm. what Drake has done, what all these guys.
They're good numbers.
They're incredible. Top 10.
But the totals are horrifically bad. Because, the totals are bad.
Because of one thing. Guess what we let the NFL, and this has been another subject of ours, something that's been a pet thing of mine
forever.
Third
down conversions.
Well, there we were pathetic. But mm-hmm. in total plays.
Yes.
We ended up dead last.
Yeah, your theme for the season. Dead it was something that came out by the third game when a few people that gave us a checkout got mad at us because we were 3-0 and we were talking about what we were worried about, what we were seeing, that the wins were not sustainable because we weren't playing winning football.
Now let's get we talk about wins and sustainability.
We were playing sustainable football.
And sustainable team, that's what Ross seems to want, and we'll need to talk about that in a minute. But when we look at our predictions...
I didn't have any problem with what Ross said.
No,
I watched
not at
that
all.
Press conference twice.
No, not at all. No, I think Ross is right. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe that... Well, okay, let's talk about it right now. I'm not sure.
Sure.
I'm not sure we have the right guy in place. And in the...
Yeah, me either.
We could talk about the hunt. Now, Clay came out. Mike Clay came out and he said that Miami is the 7th best job available of the 8th. Of the 8 jobs that are available, Miami
You know,
is
this
seven.
Is the through the looking glass situation, right?
Well,
what is your definition of what's best and what's not
well,
best?
Well, I mean, I think it's a lot of it is based on, you know, what quarterbacks are there, what cap space is there.
Miami, the players.
Yeah. Miami has
Well,
a
we know with the
space.
Cuts right now that it's going to clean up a lot of cap space.
Yeah, we're going to
lose
our
cuts.
Entire veteran team. I mean, for what it's worth.
I actually don't have an issue with any of the vets on that list. The only one that I will be sad to see go is Cameron Wake. That's it.
I think Kiko is a guy that I would hate to lose, but I think, I, you know, because he
I
does.
I don't have a smarter guy in there. He just consistently.
But he is 10th in the NFL.
He's got two major weaknesses. You know what? It's not enough.
I don't know. Who's better than him on our team?
If he's
that
high.
We don't have a single guy on our team that can tackle like he can right now. That's a fact.
I see both Baker and towards the latter half of the season, McMillan heading
in
the right direction.
No, not McMillan. No, Baker. Yes, McMillan. Yeah. I still see him like a deer
in
headlights. No, no.
I saw a lot of improvement, especially in the last 4 or 5 games. No. Despite
the numbers won't be telling you that, but okay.
So
he's not making plays.
I always loved Kiko's energy, but there's two things wrong with him. One, and we've acknowledged this over and over, he can't cover to save his life.
No, he's the worst cover guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a major weakness that gets exploited when another team schemes against us regularly.
And he makes a bonehead play almost every freaking game.
Every game he makes a bonehead play. Yep.
And now he's got a reputation.
And they're
so
bonehead
plays. Comes near a quarterback that got.
That's
they
right.
Up
they're going to throw the flag.
Yeah.
Whether it's his fault or not.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we were talking about Greer and what we think about him. He's been with the Dolphins for the greater part of what, 16 years? You know?
I saw different numbers, but I will go with 16.
Okay, something like that.
Yeah, you never know with Twitter. You have
it
to
just,
fact check. I didn't
just,
fact check. So.
He just hasn't. I mean, what has he done? I mean, I'm just concerned. Is he responsible for getting our second draft choice of Gesicki and
our first draft choice of Harris?
And I mean, where do we draw the line? And now, if he can't pick players correctly, is he going to be able to pick a coach correctly, a head coach?
Right.
And then that head coach, the downfall, I think, of Gase was the fact that he surrounded himself with terrible coaches.
He had many downfalls. There was not one thing
but
to
point to.
But
that's one of them.
That is one.
Our defense, yes. Our defensive schemes, everything was terrible.
It was terrible.
He kept Rizzi, thank God, and who's, mm-hmm. you know, we're all hoping that
most of the season he was very good. Towards
the
end,
it devolved.
He got
contaminated there. Yeah, I'm concerned about that, that Greer is the right guy for the job.
Me too. I keep hearing this, he's respected, a lot of news sports media. He's highly respected around the league. And then I ask myself the question, why? Why is he highly respect? Is he a nice guy? You know, did he do well on his SAT? You know, when he graduated from college? Why? You know, because I look at the last 16 years of Dolphin drafts, and overall, they're horrifically bad consistently. Now, in the there's been some hope over the last couple drafts with some players. You know, it's again, no one, unfortunately, has the real inside knowledge of the balance of power and who ultimately said, we're going to pick a defensive end with this first pick. We're going to pick this position. We're going to pick this guy. Was it that Greer lined up, you know, his list of talents at each position from top to bottom, his rankings, you know, as a scout, and then let Gase made the picks? Or was it that he made a recommendation and Gase said yes or no? Or, you know, when did Tannenbaum make the decision? Yeah. We don't know, and I don't think we'll ever know.
We're never going to know.
Yeah.
No, but I got to give you props. I looked up McMillan here.
Yeah.
And he did come on strong at the end with 24 stops in the last 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He graded out at 84.4.
Yes.
But in coverage, he was 42. So it looks like in coverage, we got another Kiko there.
Yeah. I heard that he's slow of foot.
Baker's good in coverage.
Yeah.
Was a good
choice. He's the speed guy. Yeah. Yep. We were all worried about him being light in the butt, and it hasn't made any difference. He's been a go-getter. He's got a great attitude, too. So,
and our leading receiver was Danny Amendola with 575 yards,
I mean, where do you even point there? Is it the receiver's fault? Is it the quarterbacking fault? Is it the offensive line fault? Is it Gase's fault? Exactly. The blame, and I think the quote unquote blame for all of our woes is not one single thing. I think it's a culmination of all of those things. So it's all of the above.
So Scott, let's take a step back. Now we got rid of Gase. We know that was a necessary move that had to happen.
It did have to happen.
Okay. So now,
remember, it was week 5 when we started tolling the funeral bell for him.
I didn't like him last year.
Yeah, I know.
I was pissed with him last year, and he showed me signs of not being a leader. But okay, now he's gone.
I did want to give him year 3 because this year was the year that Tannehill was coming back for the whole season, and you know, he could make or break himself. He didn't, but he could make or break himself on that quarterback, which he swore by. Because you and I have both been frankly pissed off every single draft for forever that we haven't been drafting quarterbacks.
Okay, let's talk about Greer here for a second.
Yeah.
Now I go back to him because you and I are football fans, probably a little better than the average fan. I mean, I'd like to say that.
I feel that way.
Okay.
Who knows?
But okay, I was off of Tannehill's bandwagon year 2.
Yeah, and for me, I gave him one more year than you. It was the middle of year 3 that I said, all right.
That's why I get you in fantasy. I was a little bit early on, guys. But anyway, all jokes aside, or reality aside, the fact is, I saw the lack of pocket press, everything.
Well,
we saw all those things
in year 1, right? But the real key is,
there was no
as you build a line in front of him and put talent around him.
There was no it factor with
Danny.
And
you coach him up, right? Then people, I mean, you love Allen, and I don't like Allen.
Yeah,
right?
I think I see what
because
Allen,
I see his
I see a,
inaccuracy.
I see a diamond in the rough. You don't see that.
I see a great runner. I see great pocket presence. We've talked about this, and I see horrible inaccuracy.
And did you see
at least 50% of his passes are way off the mark?
Did you see a guy that got 5 touchdowns against us?
I did. 2 of them were running, and the rest of them were created by his great pocket presence, his
phenomenal
moving around, you know.
Something that Tanny hasn't done.
Receivers wide open. They looked uncovered.
Because of his scrambling ability.
I could hit those, yes.
Because of his scrambling.
I don't think I could have got out of the pressure, certainly I could have hit those wide open guys with my 50-year-old. Plus
bottom
arm.
Bottom line is, the kid has a future, and another problem is Buffalo, the Jets, they both have about $100 million in cap space. New England has $25 million, and we're what, in the teens?
Yeah, that's going to change, but it's still not going to change
enough. It's going to change by cutting, guys. That's like saying our company got stronger because we sold a bunch of assets.
I understand. Yeah.
It's true, but it's, you know.
Yeah. Are they assets that should be sold?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So in reality, I'm looking at our team, and I say that this is the biggest decision, is who's going to be our head coach and what team is he going to build around him.
Yeah, well, step one was eliminating two of our problems. The financial contract problem with Tannenbaum, which has put us in this bind
financially.
Yeah, but
who's going to negotiate these now? Is it going to be Greer?
Somebody has to be. We'll find out.
Okay.
Well, I don't think that person is part of the organization right now. We don't know. I hope it's not. I hope they don't bring back Donna Ponte.
I prefer
some of the worst contracts.
I prefer her
prior to Tannenbaum.
Over Tannenbaum.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so we have the situation at hand. Now we have to say is who's the head coach, and there's like 5-6 candidates out there, right?
Yeah. So there's 6.
Okay.
As that we know of at this moment on January 1st, right? Mm-hmm. And none of them are. Have the last names of people that you and I have discussed previously.
I only talk about one guy, I'm very simple. Bring me the guy that I think will take our team to greatness, and that's Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. So
that's what I think.
The team is so weak right now, I can't even decide whether I want an offensive-minded coach or a defensive-minded coach.
Doesn't matter. What you need is a head coach.
I want
coach.
A winner with experience.
Look, Shula, what was
that's
Shula?
That's what I want.
Okay, what was Shula?
Somebody that's proven that A, they have won.
Okay, what was Shula?
And B, they have experience.
What was Shula? Offensive-minded, defensive?
Defense.
Maybe.
I'm guessing.
Okay.
Shula, I know Shula backwards and forwards, but
Shula,
when it comes to that,
Shula,
he was so even-keeled.
Because he played as a position player, he was a defensive back.
Right.
Okay, as a coach, he was a head coach. I don't believe in this offensive defense.
Oh,
that's
I agree
a lot,
with
bunch
you.
Of crap.
And then giving away control to that coordinator such that you're expecting them to run that side of the team as a whole. Yeah, I agree with you.
No, you need to have a head coach.
We need a head coach.
And McDaniels, I think, will be that kind of a guy. Because in New England, this is why. They're paying him $4 million. This is not a stupid team,
right.
New England.
Right.
They're paying him $4 million.
They talked him out of taking an indie job last year.
Exactly.
And everyone said he'd be blacklisted forever. And
no.
Boy, that forever lasted one whole year,
it's
didn't
not
it?
Gonna, it's not
dumbass
gonna,
press.
No, because the fact is that they see in him basically getting the keys to the kingdom there and running
New
England when Belichick steps down.
When they sold him that bill, that's what they sold.
Scott, I talked to you about this before. I run a company. When an employee quits on me, it's going to be very difficult for me to take him back.
Oh, right.
And New England took him back in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
This shows me that he's that caliber of a person, because I will take that guy back if he's going to help me.
In my industry, it's a little bit different. If you have somebody that's super talented and you know that he can improve.
Oh, he has to be super. That's the
right.
same. That's the same for me.
Exactly. You know that he can improve his quality of life for himself and his family by going somewhere else. Then I congratulate them when they leave, and I'll say you'll really be missed. And if there's a way we could ever bring you back, we will.
It's easier said than
done. I've had lots of employees.
Bringing a guy back at a level like he was brought back is not easy.
Right.
And I think that New England saw or sees the talent in this young man. He's what, 40 years old?
I don't know his
age. He's young.
I know he's young.
He's young.
Comparatively.
He's got the future. Yeah. He's got the future ahead of him. He's a smart guy. He runs a dynamic offense. He deals with Tom Brady. He has Brady's respect. Brady has said it on numerous occasions that he's one of the smartest football guys ever been around. I would like to see bring that kind of intelligence to Miami and that kind of leadership. I think we're lacking.
Yeah.
Now, the fact that he's not even on our short list right now pisses me off.
It does me too. I would have liked to have seen him there. And why is the defensive coordinator of the Patriots on the short list and not the OC? Because the defense has been pretty bad consistently.
Well, it was funny because
they've been just good enough to tip.
Not to steal anybody's thunder. Yeah. I mean, he's the same guy that put Gronk back there.
Yes.
I mean, and helped us get the miracle play, which got you. It stopped me from having a perfect prediction on the Dolphins season of 6-10.
Yes. One play made the difference from your prediction being correct.
And we got to talk about that. I predicted 6-10 for the season. You were at
9-7. Yep.
We ended up 7-9. So by virtue of math, I won that. I was closer.
You were closer.
But I would have been spot on if
you were one play close away. From
yeah,
being closer.
Exactly. The one guy that screwed up that play is now going to be potentially our head coach.
You know, you could also blame Charles Clay.
Oh, for dropping
Charles
that
K.
pass.
Had dropped that pass,
yeah.
Then again, you would have had 6 and 10.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah. So you, in two situations at the end of the game, it was one on the very last play of the game. It was one.
It went your way.
Honestly, we want to win every game. So
of course,
if you're listening,
course.
Don't mistake no, our egos
joking.
For,
yeah.
you know, being right about picks. For not wanting the Dolphins to win, mm-hmm. you know, I could pick a 3-10 season next year and be the happiest person on earth if we come out
13-3.
Yeah, right. The exact opposite. So
yeah. No. It just doesn't happen
that way. Usually, you and I are pretty damn close to the
truth.
Yeah,
we normally are. So. And this year, we saw the December collapse, except for the Miami Miracle.
Right.
And
yeah, I mean, if you went back and listened to that offseason mm-hmm. episode, that's exactly what I called it. I said, I foresee a December collapse with this team and that we'll lose every game in December. And
yeah.
only the miracle play kept that from happening.
Yeah. Well,
this was in the preseason.
The interesting thing is that Buffalo, who just destroyed us, now is going to have the 9th pick in the draft, and we're 13th. Not a great position.
Yeah, draft. I totally value the draft in some ways, but if it's not 1 through 5 in the draft, to me it doesn't make that much of a difference. It doesn't.
What do you mean?
I mean, there are so many misses in a draft.
That's because we don't have
one of the philosophies that I.
But that means that you, don't have, you don't have any faith
me,
in Greer.
That Bill Belichick taught me is mm-hmm. that, and seems to be what we're going away from with the. General comments about free agency. I don't want to. It's a little more complex than that. But Bill Belichick brings in veterans for low pay that still have something left in the tank.
Because he can.
And he knows when to spend draft picks on a valued player that he knows is a good player versus taking the risk in the draft because their draft is a crapshoot.
And they're not exactly geniuses drafting New England.
And they're not.
I mean, they've missed a lot.
Yeah.
They've missed
but
a lot.
But they accumulate picks, too, because they get rid of people at the right
mm-hmm.
time.
At the right time.
You know?
And they get value.
And they
which
get
is
value out
we,
of them.
We don't do.
We don't. Look at the people we ejected. Landry and Ajayi and you know, we got nothing for Sue. And, you know, it seems like if we had a shark, we would have turned at least Dominican Sue into something. Rather than just cutting him and, you know, all that. So
yeah, and losing and having all that debt money on that guy, too. But
yep.
Okay, so on the short list, anybody that sticks out that you like?
I have to do more reading and research on each guy. So
anybody that you're cheering for?
No.
Because you know my guy. I'm cheering for Josh McDaniel, and I'm hoping that...
Well, I was in the camp of I wanted a Harbaugh, right? So you can just the last name is fine with me. And the reason, the baseline reason for that, I'll keep it simple. The baseline reason is, one, they have prior head coaching experience, so they've been through it. And two, they've both won at the highest level of the game. So they know how to win, they know what it takes, and they've done it before. And that's the type of person I think needs to come in to reshape our philosophy and our organization to be successful. I don't think a rookie can do that. I do not believe.
Well, from the coaches that we're talking to, I don't think anyone has had head coaching experience. Like, who on that list? Nobody has, right?
Darren Rizzi, Vic Fangio, Chris Richard.
Zero.
We haven't gone through the list. So
okay, let's go
through
it.
We've mentioned Rizzi. He's our special teams coach, and we like him.
And I like him. I think he's fiery. He's coached all, and he was... in my opinion, the best coach on the staff.
Yes.
That again, when I talked about Gase's downfall, I believe that was one of it. That guy came from the old regime, and he stayed on with Philbin.
Yep.
And look at how well that's been our best coach until the last recently where he got in a little collapse there. But and players love him. He's fiery. I think fans love him because of that fire.
Yep.
So I wouldn't mind seeing him as a head coach, giving him a shot.
Yeah. Well,
I'll go on record on that. It wouldn't be my first choice. We know what that is, but okay.
Quick aside, did you see that Dan Campbell is getting head coaching interviews?
Yes.
There's a fiery guy.
Yeah, okay. Campbell is your typical guy that's not an X's and O guy.
He's not on our list. But
okay, but he's not an X's and
O.
He's
an emotional leader.
Okay, he's not a Josh McDaniel.
Yeah.
Okay. He is more of a Rizzy.
Yes.
That's what I see.
Right. That's when talking about Rizzy brought him to mind.
So we got that already. We already have that in-house.
Yeah.
So, no, he wouldn't be high on my list.
Yeah.
Okay, next.
All right, so Vic Fangio, the Bears defensive coordinator.
He's like 60, right? How old is he? Do you have it there? It's pretty old. Anyway, okay. Next.
Chris Richard, Cowboys. He has a weird position. He's like defensive backs coach and offensive passing strategist or something weird like that.
I don't want any Cowboys. I wouldn't want it, but okay. Yeah. Next.
Okay. Eric Bieniemy. This year's one-year wonder. Offensive coordinator of the Chiefs.
I feel like we're going to get another Gase, a guy that coached Peyton Manning and looked great.
Yeah.
And now, you know, he's going to come here and because he's coaching Mahomes and, you know, that. And I think a lot of that is Reed. So I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't have a thumbs up or down. I'm kind of neutral on him, but I wouldn't be upset.
Again, you know, before we podcast again, I'm going to do a lot more reading on people, and especially as we get closer to a selection, I certainly want to have.
It's
like the Oscars, right? You want to see most of the movies so you have a favorite before the winners are announced.
I have a favorite; he just hasn't been nominated yet.
Yeah. Yep. So next is Mike Munchak, the Steelers OL coach, who's been a head coach previously, hasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've forgotten where.
He's pretty good. I mean, you know, the Steelers, but that culture in Pittsburgh is toxic.
It is right now.
It's been like that for a while.
And the number one Steelers fan I know, and he is a rabid Steelers fan, has been begging for their head coach to be fired for 3 or 4 years now. He can't stand
it. I mean, they're a soap opera.
He thinks they're the biggest, because of him, they're the biggest underachievers.
Team is a joke, and he's part of that joke culture. I mean, they got more talent, I think, than any team in the NFL, or just about.
Well, not on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, they were playing pretty good defense this year. I mean, there were moments that they were really shutting people down, and not look what they did to the Carolina in that big game. And I mean, it's just that there's something wrong with that team. It's just something wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, they're mismanaged. I wouldn't want him. Okay. Who's else?
Yeah. Brian Flores.
That's the
Patriots defensive coordinator who we talked about already too.
Yeah, I wouldn't want him. He's a one Patriot guy. I don't want. I want the other Patriot.
I agree.
Guy.
I don't want him.
So from all that short list, none of the people I want, which would be McDaniel, Harbaugh. Those are my guys. They're not on it. And Rizzy. So I would take Rizzy over any of those guys, personally.
Yeah, I don't.
The only one that kind of intriguing a little bit
Fangio
is the
intrigues me. He had Fangio.
Eh.
Number one defense.
Well, you got Mac.
Mac certainly made a big difference.
They weren't number one before he got there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Were good, though.
Listen, I don't know. No. I think the Kansas City.
He could end up being good.
That sounds to me more
exciting.
It's
a real dice roll. Yeah. He's a real high risk.
High risk, high reward.
High reward. Yeah.
I like it. I mean, okay.
All right. I want to see a few more names, you know. And I certainly, the big rumor prior to the first announcement was the former Jet and Bill head coach.
Hell no. Hell no.
It said he was putting together a staff to make a run at both the UM job and the Dolphins job.
Having said that, there is a New York Jet coach that I wouldn't mind getting back as a defensive coordinator.
Bowles?
Yes, sir.
Bowles. Sorry, man.
And he has some balls. I like him. He blitz on every damn play. This guy blitz. He's aggressive. He's proactive.
When he was coaching our defense, it was fairly highly ranked, and we still didn't have like any legendary players at that point.
No. I would love to bring him back, and I think that he would like to stick it to the Jets every single time. I would love that guy back, and that's what I'm thinking. Him And with a good head coach, I mean, that's the start of it all. So, yeah, I mean, that I wouldn't want – you're talking about Rex Ryan with his tattoo of Sanchez.
Yes.
There's no way I want this guy.
I know,
team.
And
he's a clown.
I brought it up nefariously.
The fact that he was lobbying before Gase was fired, I think he's a loser.
I do have to call you on something, though.
What?
Is that you texted me, God, no, I don't ever want another Jet involved with our – ex-Jet involved with our program again.
Yeah, because I was thinking of Tannenbaum, but no, I want this kid, and I just think that he would be perfect. It was just like when we got Chet Bennington.
Yeah,
if that falls in our lap,
yeah,
and we can get a guy with that caliber,
he's an ex-Jet,
and stick it to the Jets,
yep,
like Pennington.
If it weren't for injury,
it's an awesome situation. But also, I kind of said it. You didn't respond to that. I didn't like the fact that Rex was lobbying for the job while Gase was still legally employed. And that's BS.
Yes.
He's a typical loser. He's a fat ass
loser.
I never liked him.
I certainly never want him as our head coach.
He's a clown. He wants all the spotlight. He says he's diverting it from his players. Nah, he's a media hungry. The fact that he did that is a classless individual. We have enough classless individuals leave Miami. Don't bring him in.
All right.
Okay.
To be fair, to be consistent, let's talk about the Bills game for a bit.
Okay.
All right. So our view last week was this is a time to...
And we saw it together.
Yeah.
You actually came to my house and we sat there and suffered.
We don't do that very much.
Not like we used to.
Yeah. That's mostly combination of family and, you know, all that.
Yeah, yeah. And in days. Back in the days, we always used to cook. I used to get buffalo meat and cook it. And
and
it was just so much fun. But anyway, we got together. It was really nice having you there. We had a great breakfast. And
we did.
And we sat there and watched this this fiasco unfold.
I let off a couple of tweets early on, and then I just gave up too because I got too depressed by it all. Again, you know, I understand the strategic value of us losing the game. I mean, that perhaps is what Gase got the final, you know, shoe on his ass out the door.
I'm sure, again, if it would have been competitive, he would have had a chance to possibly make a claim for his job. Ending up 8-8, he does have a good points, better than 7-9.
Yeah.
But the fact that they got blown out for whatever, heaven knows, 7 out of 8 games.
Yeah.
On the road. Yeah.
It just started so badly right off the...
And we barely... Yeah, of course. Another giving up. We barely creeped over 200 yards. I have a note here, and it was 5 minutes left, and we were at 208 yards for the entire game.
You're starting from the end?
There's nothing... I'm not going to go through play-by-play. Scott, we can't
I don't
want to...
We'd never go through play-by-play, but I like going through the game chronologically,
bottom line,
making
in the game,
comments.
In the game, this is what happened. We gave up a touchdown. We got a touchdown on a pass to Tannehill. That was the only offensive touchdown of the game.
Yeah. Okay. Again, how many times have we seen that this year?
Touchdown. Three straight games. We barely creeped over 200 yards. It would have been like our fifth game without going under 200 yards. There's a reason why we ended up 31st in offense. We got 17 first downs for the entire game. They got 23. And... passing yards, we were 126 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
This, other than us being together and having a nice breakfast, this game was so painful in so many ways. It had the worst TV coverage that I can remember.
God, don't even get me started with that.
It's not because of the sex of the announcer. It's because
they're both
terrible.
Sucked. They both
They
sucked.
Were both terrible.
Bias.
First of all, I know. It was.
It's insult to injury having those clowns.
Yeah.
And it really was hard and painful to watch. But what I'll tell you what was worse is you and I differ on Allen, and the jury's going to be out for a few years Allen.
Don't you, if you're a professional, don't you at least practice the names of players?
Oh, yeah. Well,
I know, on this podcast, we're not professionals in the sense that this isn't our job. We don't get paid for this. This isn't the only thing that we do. I mean, we both have completely different careers. This is what we do for fun. And we still would at least pronounce the names of players
you're
better.
You're going to keep trashing on the lady, huh?
A little bit. I have to have a little fun here, right?
He sucked well.
You know, I mean, Kiki Alonso, he made a hell of a play and a big mistake too, right?
Yeah. No, the fact that they would one, it was Tannehill. He threw the ball away, and he said that was a coverage sack. And we sat there looking at each other going, what the hell is he talking about?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He, goes, oh, that
he
was
threw
a,
the
that
ball
was a,
away, and he said, called it a coverage sack.
Goes, that's a coverage sack. And we're going, is it a sack?
Well, it's not a sack.
What is
wipe.
It?
I mean, yeah. I mean if it had been a penalty, like a intentional grounding or something, then possibly you could say
no,
that.
No, listen, it was a terrible call game. But but here's the thing that we got to.
Well, he was a Bills player.
Of course.
He was their special teams player for forever. Steve Tasker. Why would you put him on
wasn't
a game
the
covering
moron,
his own
wasn't
team?
Wasn't he the moron that caused that fumble against Leon Lett?
Well, he caused it. That was a good play on his part.
It was terrible. I lost a big pool on that. I've hated that guy forever. Now it just hit me. I was wondering why I hated
him.
That
was a ton of effort on his behalf.
He blew hundreds and hundreds of dollars for my family. Screw him. I don't like him. Okay, now... We've talked about Allen. It's terrible. He sucks. But look, talking about Allen and talking about Tanny, I mean, Allen ran for 2 touchdowns. He passed for 3 touchdowns, and he rushed for almost 100 yards.
Yep.
They have a future.
He played well enough to win. Right.
Well enough to win. Again, if you score 5 touchdowns, it's well enough to win 99% of the time.
Against the worst defense at
home. Call it what you want. You're not going to take 5 touchdowns.
Until
you won't take 42 points.
Until
not even
his
Mahomes
accuracy
is averaging that.
Comes way up from where
fine,
it is.
I would take 5 touchdowns. I don't think Tannehill scored 5 touchdowns in his life.
But he doesn't produce 5 touchdowns every game.
Okay, but he's just starting. I mean, he should have beaten us twice, and you know
yes.
it.
Yes.
And the kid. Look, my point is, listen. I don't think he's a Rodgers. But you know what? They have a quarterback that can be developed. The other kid, Donald's, looks
yes,
like
what
a
they have
that
we don't
developed.
Have is potential.
Yeah, and that comes to my next point. Because yes. I'm done with this game. You can go back to it. But who do you fear on Miami, Scott? I mean, when you look at Miami, and you name me any team. New England is not fair because, you know, but I'll tell you, let's say New England, okay? Who do you fear? You fear Belichick, Brady, yeah. Gronk.
Yeah.
I mean... you know, maybe Edelman. But you got guys that you fear. Who do you fear on Miami?
Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Don Shula.
Yeah. Our pass.
Larry Zonka.
Our pass.
Yeah.
You fear that our pass is going to stick up somehow out of the grave and we're going to...
I kind of converted our conversation about who do you fear with our conversation about whose jersey would you buy. Because I threw that one at Alex and I said, well, whose jersey, you know, whose Dolphin jersey would you actually go spend your money on? And then
and
he started whipping off
Dan
the past.
Marino.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, that honestly is there's no one on this team. And you, when you can say not even our head coach, you cannot say our quarterback, you can't say a running back, a wide receiver. When they put the faces of the team up, there's no one there.
Yeah.
So that's the problem that we're having.
We might
in
have those running backs. We just don't know.
Well, we need someone to start really putting those guys out there that we can actually see it, and there could be a face to this franchise and someone that people would fear. When we cannot answer that question, I just don't think we have – we're not there as a team, and that's how I'm glad the changes that we're making. But anyway, this game ended up a fiasco. The second half, we were outscored, 27-3?
It was 28-3. Disgusting. The turnovers were bad. Tannehill, 2 interceptions and a fumble. The line was bad again. It was just, you know.
We rushed for 99 yards. I mean, yeah, it was just, we gave
there was
up
a funny point in the game.
4 sacks.
I had a note. Okay. You said, hey, good field position. We should get a field goal here. And I said, no, we'll get sacked at some point when Geese decides to throw instead of running, and that'll take us out of field goal range. And what happened? Like 4 plays later.
Yeah, we got sacked.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, not only do we know our team, but it's eminently predictable what's going to happen.
I mean, when you're a team that gets barely 200 yards a game in so many games, and the other team's getting 400 yards average. I mean, these guys got 381 because they took the foot off the pedal.
Yeah.
They showed some class at the end. They could have scored again.
They could have kicked that field goal for sure.
Yeah, and they stopped and they said, you know, let's have some class. And I also don't mind that little pass that they did to the defensive lineman, Williams.
Oh yeah, that was a thing to honor a player who'd been a lifetime guy plus a stand-up person in the community, the type of player that fans of a team love.
But we had that guy, his name is Cameron Wake, and I think this could have been his last game, and we didn't do anything for him. In Miami, we had a chance.
Well, the difference, there's a big difference.
Which is?
If Cam Wake had come out and said, I am retiring this year, this is my last game of Miami Dolphin, then the opportunity to do something for him would have been right in front of us, and then we could have seen whether we did something or not.
Yeah, well.
He didn't do that, and that's a really big difference.
You know what I do? I anticipate things.
My last note. I got to share my last note.
We should have anticipated.
I tweeted. Mm-hmm. I said, Alex and I are both sitting here trying very hard not to throw up our breakfasts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And mm-hmm. then my last note, I just wrote the word suck, and then I wrote the words clean house.
And we haven't done that at all.
We did not clean house.
No, Greer is still around. Tannenbaum is somewhere in the building. Nobody knows what office is he in, but he's somewhere. He's like the freaking herpes of our team. He just won't go away.
Yeah. Well, you know, all the bell ringing, the bell tolling that we did, we never mentioned Greer once because he's just had a giant question mark in front of him forever.
I wish this guy turns out to be some kind of
genius. I hope he does.
You know?
And he's been held down. He's learned from all these people. Now's his time. The light's on him. I just don't have a great feeling about it. But he's wearing a Dolphins hat, and he's somewhat of an unknown to us, even though he's been with the team for 16 years, because we've never understood the power structure.
And we can't underestimate.
And we now understand the power structure.
And finally. Well,
at least briefly.
Actually, we all understood.
Once we bring in a head coach.
No, we all understood it. We just didn't agree with it. But we all understood that what the struggle was, what the structure was. You know, I mean, for some reason, Gase would report to the owner. Tannenbaum would report to the owner. The general manager would report to Tannenbaum. It was just crazy.
Yeah,
it was like everybody was, and then Gase had optimal power over the personnel,
right?
Which is something you give to a Belichick.
We didn't know until like the beginning of this year that was the case.
So maybe Gase is responsible for all these screw ups. I mean,
yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe he's the one that said, "No, we're picking a defensive end here. Harris is the guy."
Yeah,
we don't know.
We're picking this tight end who can't block.
People miss on picks. Every year, year in and year out. But you've also got to hit a couple, right?
You got to hit. And it looked like we did a couple, not this draft, the draft before, it looked like we did hit in a couple.
Mm-hmm.
That looked like a very good draft. So, I mean, Howard right now leads the NFL in interceptions after missing four games.
And this draft won't be a wash if, right?
Tunsil looks like he's going to be a legitimate left tackle.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Minka looks like, he has the, you know, coached correctly and put in the position to succeed that he could be a superstar as well.
Well, we got to get rid of it's a lot of issues because in safety we still have three safeties.
Yeah. So
and they're all in the contract.
One of the cut list things I saw had McDonald on it and the money they could save by cutting him. I mean, wouldn't you like to come back into next year with Jones, the established strong safety, and Minka, the established free safety?
It would be, I think, ideal.
Me too.
Yeah, it would be ideal.
That I hate, you know, McDonald or anything. It's just, you know, I think it's the right way going forward, especially if cutting him, you know, gives us some more cap space in order to rebuild both the financial health of this team as well as the youth and talent level.
I agree. But now we've got our draft choice. We're 13th position. We have to do another show, Scott, I think, covering the fact that, you know, what the draft's going to look like here in a few months. But we need to also, have a show right after we figure out who the Dolphins pick, who the new head coach.
Coach.
And he puts his team together.
Yep.
You know, his coaching staff.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we all know.
It'll be very interesting to see.
We all know the new defensive
coordinator. And by the way, that's another reason I don't want a young guy that hasn't been a head coach before, because more often than not,
Rams.
Those young guys,
Rams,
that's an exception.
Okay, so we can't be the exception.
We could be the exception.
Be the exception.
Okay.
Let's think. Here's the problem, Scott. I understand what you're saying, but the bottom line.
I saw somebody post. I wish I could give credit here.
Josh McDaniel would have done it and he's going to bring in a hell of a defensive coordinator.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. Get the right freaking guy.
Yeah.
And if we get the right freaking guy, his age doesn't matter. It's the talent of the guy and how respected he is.
Do you have any doubt that Harbaugh doesn't, either one of the Harbaughs doesn't know tons of people across the league, you know, based on all their experience and everything that they could bring in the right people?
But Scott, you see, what you need in this case is a coach, not an old guy that's going to bring his buddies. Okay, you need a guy that's going to bring in, like, I don't even know if Phillips really knew anything about anybody when he went to L.A., but he was the right guy.
Yeah.
He's a defensive coordinator that's been successful everywhere he went. I want a guy that brings in the right talent, the right guys, a guy that says, I'm going to keep Rizzi because he's a stud. That's what I want. Not a guy. I want to bring in my coordinator friend because he's my buddy.
Or my college teammate. Yeah. Or
him and I went through the ranks together in Pittsburgh. I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
I want a guy that's going to care about building and putting together the best people. And I don't care what his age is, his color of his skin. You and I have talked about this. It's disgusting. And people say, well, you know, black this. We have a black GM. I couldn't care less if Greer was purple or blue or pink. I want a guy that picks the
right
players.
I want the best
person. That's all we want.
Yeah.
And that's what Miami deserves. And that's what we don't have.
Yep.
So I guess the next thing is, man, let's see what kind of coach we hire and who it is. I pray to God that Miami wakes up and Josh McDaniel is on that list and we offer him the keys to the kingdom.
So our next podcast will not be on a weekly basis as has been now that the Dolphins season is over.
Okay, man. Hey, it's been a fun this first year, Scott. It's been great. It's been a dream come true. A lot of a lot of ups and downs with the season. But at least bottom line is we made it through, and I think we both grew a lot and had a lot of fun with this. So I thank you, and I'm very grateful for this opportunity.
Me too, man. It's so fun. We've learned a lot. I think we've improved a lot. I think we have more improvement to go. It'll be interesting when we start bringing on guests.
Can't wait for
that. We'll throw some wrinkles in, you know, as we go forward with season two.
Yes.
So, and I think it's very interesting that and full of potential that we're now part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
That means a lot. I'm really proud of that. That's really cool.
All right.
All righty.
Have a great day, man.
Yep. You too.
The Two Old Dolphins would like to thank Tartanic for the use of their music. Both songs that we use as bumpers are from their latest album, Uncharted, which you can get off their website or iTunes or I'm sure many other places. Check them out.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Dolphins. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old guy stories. Good night.